I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
A tall man, a dark suit, long arms and tentacles. Is he an innocent figment of someone's imagination? Or are his motives something much more sinister? Today's topic is Slender Man.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. I still have this fucking Ouija board in my house.
You have a Ouija board? You gotta get that. Get rid of it, man.
I wanna know which one of our listeners decided to ship me what I'm going to assume is a cursed Ouija board.
I appreciate the creativity that went into the packaging because the label was marked that it was from Parker Brothers.
Yes, like the board sent itself to me from their headquarters.
And apparently, I guess you write in to Parker Brothers and say, please send a Ouija board to a friend. Yeah, I don't know.
Or it's just it sent itself. Like, it just looked up my address
and
knew it.
Or my other theory is that your childhood doll sent it to you.
Oh, God. My mom did find all those dolls in the attic this weekend, so
she got her all riled up and she sent you a Ouija board. Don't forget about me.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not using it. It is just sitting on the counter currently.
Yeah, people were like, oh, you guys should put it on an episode. Hell no. We're recording in my house. I am not having a cursed-ass Ouija board come to my damn house.
Several people have said I should burn it.
I think so. There's a ravine behind my house. We're going to throw it in the ravine. Burn it and throw it in the ravine.
We do have some plans for it. If you come to our live show.
October 26th, 11:30 p.m. at Dallas Comedy House.
Yeah. Free.
Yes.
It is free.
Tickets are free. Show on up.
It's going to be a lot of fun right before Halloween. Good way to start getting in the creepy frame of mind. So come to that and you'll see what we're gonna do with it.
You just might get cursed. Just kidding, you probably won't.
You can also maybe get cursed with what we're gonna be discussing today.
Seriously, when it said someone was like, once you talk about him, he'll follow you around.
Yeah.
So, I was like, ah, damn it.
We already saw what happened when I made fun of Annabelle. I had stomach virus for 48 hours.
You were very ill. I was fine because I did not mock Annabelle. Yeah. I'm a good person.
But now that we're discussing and investigating Slender Man, who knows what's going to happen?
I'm just concerned about this tentacle situation. He's got tentacles. I
could be fun, though. You don't know.
I don't know.
Little tickle. Little tentacle tickle.
No, I don't want to get tickled by the Slender Man. I did appreciate some of the online artwork I saw where it's just like, he's like hugging people.
Yeah, he's just looking for a friend.
Or like one of the cases we'll talk about, the kid drew him and Jack Skellington as friends.
Aww.
It's like, you just sort of make him into whatever you want.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And today we are discussing the creepypasta internet lore of Slender Man.
What is a Slender Man?
Slender Man. In 2009, the internet forum Something Awful held a Photoshop contest where users had to create paranormal images. Eric Knudsen, aka Victor Surge, that was his forum name, submitted two black and white photos of groups of children. He photoshopped a tall, thin, spectral figure wearing a black suit into the photos. Knudsen's entry stood out from the others because he also included text under the pictures. The text was supposedly from witnesses that had witnessed the abduction of the children in the photos.
The text is very creepy.
It is creepy. Under one of the photos, it read, "We didn't want to go. We didn't want to kill them. But its persistent, silent, and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time." Supposedly, that's from a 1983 photographer who's presumed dead.
It's really great to just put that under there, like a quote from a person. They're probably dead, though. Don't try to find them.
Probably exploded.
They probably exploded. Don't ask them where they're from, what happened. They are gone now. Yes. Please don't try to talk to them. Don't contact anyone to verify.
It's real. Just believe me.
Yeah,
it's real.
Just believe me. It's on an internet forum, so it has to be real. People don't just go and lie on the internet.
No, never.
I like that he went the extra mile, though. Like, you don't have to just Photoshop a picture. You can add a little bit of spookiness.
Well, that's what... So the addition of that text really allowed for the photos to become an immediate work of fiction where other users could share the Slender Man image and create their own stories. Mm-hmm. And soon, the Slender Man went viral and became popular amongst fan art, cosplay, creepypasta, and was even adapted into a video game in 2012. Also, found out from my husband, there's a lot of Slender Man erotica out there.
Oh, no.
Yes. He goes, if you want to talk about it, there's a lot of Slender Man erotica.
First of all, how do you know?
That was my first question. How do you know this? He's apparently the most recent last podcast, Creepypasta, is about Slender Man and Henry Reed's very erotic entry from someone about Slender Man having sex with them. So
with his tentacles or just regular sex?
I did not read it, but...
Oh, man.
I imagine tentacles are involved.
People will just write anything on the internet, but you know what? Let's not knock the Slender Man fanfic, because I was just listening to this book called Hitmakers, and they talk about Fifty Shades of Grey and how it started out as, you know, Twilight fanfiction and all that. And they're like, the horrible...
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that where it came
from? Yeah, it was on a website.
Is he a vampire?
No. It's on fanfic.net, and then people would just write their own fan fiction, like, about, what's his face, Edward, mm-hmm. and then they made him all kinds of different things, and one of the things they made him was, like, this businessman, so then they just omitted the vampire part, and then just had him, like, butt-fucking a bunch, I guess. I never read 50 Shades of Grey.
I haven't either. That's not my cup of tea, and I heard that it was awful. I kind of want to read it just because it's supposed to be so awful, but then I'm also like, do I really want to spend several hours reading something that just sucks?
I saw a lady on the dart train just reading it and just like kind of like swaying a little too much.
Yeah, like just licking her lips a little too much.
Kind of groaning a little bit with
the
dart train.
Yeah, just moving around in her chair.
Nuts.
Crossing and recrossing her legs.
I don't take public transit anymore. Because if anyone's going to be rocking and grinding on their way to work, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So... how did this get out of control?
Good question. Well, and I'm calling him Knudsen. I'm not sure if it's Knudsen or Knudsen.
Knudsen
or Knudsen, because it's K-N-U-D-S-E-N.
Let's call him Victor Surge.
Okay, yeah, that's better. So according to Victor Surge, He originally created Slenderman based on inspiration from Zach Parsons' That Insidious Beast, Stephen King's The Mist, Shadow People, Mothman, and the Mad Gasser of Mattoon.
Can I just call shenanigans? Because I don't think 100% Slenderman existed in an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer called The Gentleman.
Yes, yeah.
That's exactly what he looks like.
And just, I think they took that from this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because Buffy was before this.
Oh.
Buffy was like in the 90s.
Ooh.
This Newton fella had to have watched it or seen pictures of it, because the Slenderman looks exactly like The Gentleman. The only difference is the whole tentacle situation, which just makes it ripe for fan fiction. Erotica.
And sometimes he doesn't have the tentacles.
Correct.
So.
I think he can put them in or out.
Yeah.
at his leisure. He chooses
Sometimes he's feeling tentacly, sometimes he's not, you know?
Sometimes you feel like a tentacle, sometimes you don't.
Exactly.
So I think at least it's like somehow subconsciously.
So Victor Surge was a Buffy fan.
He was a Buffy fan and a plagiarist.
Both those things.
But nothing's original. I mean, the Slender Man, he's not even in charge of the whole thing.
No, there's nothing original under the sun. Everything is just, weren't we just talking about that? How people don't want original stuff. They want familiar stuff that they can relate to, but just improved.
Correct. This mm-hmm. isn't a book podcast, but I will say Hitmakers talks about the concept of fluency and how people want like something that sounds familiar, but different. And yes. The same with like music, speeches, books, movies, all that stuff.
Why Melania straight up just copied almost verbatim Michelle Obama's speech because she listened to Hitmakers.
Yeah, she read the book and was like, oh, I just have to do the same thing, but kind of different. Yeah. I'll just move some of the words. It's like a kid doing a project in mm-hmm. school and they're just like, I'll copy and paste the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Change the order.
But I'll change like becoming to, and then, like you just change like the little like transition phrases.
Yeah, it's
to
like,
make it
and
yours.
Then. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he probably got it from a lot of things.
It sounds like it. And since no one really owns it, right?
No. Yeah. And the Mad Gasser of Mattoon, I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up. And apparently it was a series of gas attacks in Mattoon, Illinois in the 1940s.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's insane. But yes, you're right. So because there isn't really an origin story or like a canon,
it makes it creepier
for the Slender Man and his motives, abilities, and features can change depending on the storyteller. So maybe some people want him to have tentacles. Maybe some don't.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have the freedom because of how he was created. And that's kind of a whole thing with creepypasta in general. Like those stories is they're easily shared short bits of text and images that can become very viral, and then people can add upon them, and it kind of morphs into this whole internet lore. But everyone operates under the assumption that they're treating it as a real thing.
It's so strange to me, too, as far as creating things and then publishing them, of like who owns a meme. And like there's a Slenderman video game and mm-hmm. now there's about to be a Slenderman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, and I probably could look this up and the answer is probably no, is that like that Victor Surge guy or Knudsen or whatever, he doesn't own it.
No.
So he's not getting like royalties from it.
He does not own it. He might have started it, but it's, because it just doesn't have an origin story and it's like a creepypasta, anybody can change it, and therefore it's kind of like the internet owns it.
It's a modern day urban legend.
Yes, exactly. Very much so. So his everything can change depending on the storyteller. However, most commonly he is depicted as very tall and thin with unnaturally long arms.
And he's bald-headed.
Yes, he has just a white, featureless head. He doesn't really have features on his face. It's just kind of blank, which that creeps me out big time.
It looks like he pulled a condom over his head.
White condom.
It's all the way down over his face.
Yes. And sometimes he has tentacles protruding from his back. He's usually wearing a black suit with a thin black tie.
Hey, you know what? Dress for the job you want.
Not the job you have.
If you want to be a faceless child abductor, you gotta
maybe he wants to be.
He wants to be CEO,
like a door to door salesman, or even a man in black or something.
Yeah. Ooh, maybe that's it. He wants to solve crimes.
He's got aspirations. He can also teleport, which is a fun thing to be. That I was like, okay, we're kind of just giving him anything he wants at this point.
Yeah,
that
I guess so.
It really makes sense.
It sounds like when you're little kids and you're like, I have on a suit of armor, and it's like, I have a special sword that cuts through suits of armor.
And you're like, oh, fuck you.
Well, I have a special sword that breaks swords that cut through suits of armor. You're like, all right, now you're just, come on, this is unfair.
This isn't fun if we're all just one up in each other in imagination land.
Correct.
Somebody's got to win. He's known to frequent forests and abandoned places.
All right.
And he stalks and abducts children and young adults, although his motives as to why are unknown.
That's what I don't understand about Slenderman, is it's like there is this like following where he is a creature of comfort.
Yeah.
That, like for bullied or ostracized kids, they gravitate towards this whole concept because it's like, it's almost like Pied Piper of like, we're going to go live with Slender Man in the woods and it'll be happy and no one will hurt us and he'll protect us forever. But they're also kind of terrified by it.
Yeah.
And also, if he abducts you, are you going willingly or you're trying to get up to, I don't know.
I think there's both. So it is said if you get too close to Slender Man, you will experience what is called slender sickness, which includes paranoia, nightmares, delusions, and nosebleeds.
Like if you just stand too close to him?
Yeah, if you like come upon him in the forest or you are just like in the vicinity of him, you'll know that you're in the vicinity of him because this will happen to you.
Did you know, actually, another part of Slender Man lore is the 1980s pop song Don't Stand So Close to Me by the Police. It was about Slender Man.
Also, I'm pretty sure these same things have happened to me after just like too much Jaeger the night before.
Maybe you had
paranoia, nightmares, delusions, and nosebleeds.
Yeah, I was feeling that today after last night, after drinking that sangria that erases your memory.
Oh, man.
It's like, I think I had a slender encounter last night. The old slender.
I'm sorry, boss. I'm not going to be able to come today. I got the slender sickness.
Like the old slender sickness. Good Lord.
Well,
so you want to be close to him, but you don't?
You don't. I mean,
good
it's
God.
Like, it's like a, you know, it's like any kind of relationship where you got one foot out the door. You're not really sure what you want.
You know what? It's like, I don't want to.
You're real hot and cold. You're real Ross and Rachel. Like, one minute you want to be near him, the next you don't.
Yeah, he gets real close to me and he's like, I've had a nosebleed. And then he won't talk to me. It's great.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, his victims can be driven insane to act on his behalf. And some even believe that investigating him will draw his attention. So, how's your nose?
Oh, God.
Is it bleeding?
I just have always gotten random nosebleeds. So maybe
really?
I've been close to Slender Man
all
this whole time.
I've had terrible allergies for like a month and my nose has been killing me.
It was definitely
maybe
Slenderman.
It's really Slender Man, though.
It was Slender Man.
It's been hanging out around my house.
Until
well, I wish he'd
rain.
Leave because I'm over it.
Yeah. All right, I'm not going to investigate you then. For a person that likes to roll around and get attention and be 10 feet tall, I'm sorry, investigating you offends you.
Yeah, you're real big in tentacles. If you don't want to be noticed, maybe don't have your tentacles out,
don't
you
be,
giant.
Yeah, don't swing your tentacles all over the place. I will say, Slender Man wants to come to my house. You better watch out because my chihuahua is very vicious. And she will bite all
Lucy
of
will just be
off.
Hanging from one of those tentacles as he swings her.
Mm-hmm. She'll somehow think that you're food and try to eat you.
Aww.
She's like, ooh, calamari.
Well, like you were saying, even though there's all this mystery and terror associated with Slender Man, some wish to become his proxy or a servant that carries out his will.
That sounds like a mental disorder of like, it's Slender, she has Slender Man by proxy.
Yeah. She's, yeah. You mean Munchausen? No, I mean
Slender Man. No,
Slender Man.
She has tentacles now. They're not real. She just got a hold of an octopus at a backwoods grocery store.
She had Slender sickness, and now she's has Slenderman by proxy, and she's trying to make everyone else have Slender sickness.
Oh,
it's
man.
A real fucked up thing.
Good God.
And according to creepypasta lore, in order to become a proxy, there's a big old ritual you got to go through.
Oh, come on. This is like, there's an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show where they pull a prank and he's like, I think your phone's messed up. And at the end of it, he's like, take your phone, put it in a paper bag, swing it over your head and scream like a chicken. And then it's like this whole creepypasta thing. They're like, first you got to get a bag.
Yeah, yeah. So and then at the end, who's really laughing?
Yeah, you swing it over your head and you scream like a chicken. What do you have to do to become a proxy?
Okay.
Slender Man by proxy syndrome.
So you have to wait for a new moon.
Okay.
Step one. Then you got to find some woods. And at 11:59 p.m., venture deep into the woods.
Okay.
So you can take a flashlight so you can light your path and
you
stuff.
You don't fall down like an idiot.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to take, like, a camera or any kind of recording device.
Mm-hmm.
You also, the whole time you're walking down this path, you gotta keep your head down. Because if you try and look for him or even see Slender Man, he's gonna kill you.
Oh, that's so rude. I waited for a new moon. I came all the way out here. I didn't even get to bring my phone with me.
No.
I can't tweet. I can't respond to messages. And now if I accidentally look at you, you're going to kill me?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
He's kind of a dick.
He sounds like kind of a dick.
And so, okay, once your flashlight begins to flicker and you feel the Slender sickness, means he's close. So then you got to stop where you are. Squeeze your eyes shut tight and wait to hear his voice in your head.
Okay. And then he says, Bill, what does he say?
He asks you a series of questions.
Okay. This is Monty Python bit. You must answer me these questions.
Exactly.
What is your favorite color? Like, really?
That's such a good, that's such a good sketch. So he starts to ask you questions, but you got to make sure you answer truthfully because he knows if you're feeding him a bunch of bullshit, and then he'll kill you if you don't answer truthfully. So he's probably like,
"I like it."
Have you been thinking about your sister when you masturbate? And you're like, "No, no." He's
you
like,
must die.
All right, bye.
Good God. You have to tell him that he's like, "Do you just sometimes when you go poop, do you look back in the toilet at it?" No, fucking liar.
Yeah.
And then he kills you.
Yeah.
Should have been truthful.
So if he deems you're worthy of being a proxy, he will mark your flesh with the sign of the Slender Man, which is a circle with an X through it.
Circle, circle, dot, dot.
Now you got the Slender Man shot. And apparently it feels like a burning sensation, like a dull razor blade is being dragged across your skin.
You're telling me I have to go to the woods.
Yeah, that enough is
without
enough
my phone,
right there, I'm out.
I have to go get interrogated by somebody who's going to give me a burning sensation?
Yeah.
No, that's like the worst date.
That's like, exactly.
Meet me
like
in the woods.
Year of college.
Yeah. Meet me in the woods. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about yourself and you're going to leave with a burning sensation.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah, that's a bad Tinder date.
No.
That's what that is. So eventually, it gets worse. Eventually, you pass out from the Slender sickness.
We've been there in the woods. It's fine.
Yeah. Then you wake up in your bed.
Same. Also been there.
As if nothing happened. All this sounds familiar.
But you do have a burning sensation.
Yes.
This is what happens when you go in the woods.
But you notice you have the black mark of Slender Man on your skin and the terrifying memories. Again, just sounds like a terrible date you had
good
the night before.
Lord.
So then you gotta pack some clothes and some other basics because he's gonna be coming for you soon.
Oh no.
So you can leave your house and your previous life forever and follow him. And now you belong to him. And for the rest of your days, you got to do whatever he wants. Once you...
Sounds like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, once you say you're his proxy, you're in it for life. Oh, you, and if you ever want out, he will kill you. You can't get out.
I don't think this is a healthy relationship.
No, where, it's not.
And for... it's what is that on where it's like, I'll kill you? Oh, that's the... what movie is that? Stripes. Have you ever seen Stripes with Bill Murray?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, if you touch my stuff, I'll kill you. If you call me Francis, I'll kill you. If you do this, I'll kill you. Yeah. Apparently, Francis is Slender Man. They're like, he's like, call me psycho. If you call me Francis...
Once again, Victor Surge, he... Stripes and Buffy are where this all originally originated. 20 years apart and very different genres.
And Monty Python and the Holy Grail. He's, you know what? Stripes is a good film, though.
I
highly recommend.
Very good. Isn't John Candy in that?
I think, is he? I know it's Harold Ramis and Bill Murray.
That's Harold Ramis,
and then, man, it sure takes a left turn about the last third. There's a lot of tits in that movie, too. It was shocking for me as a child.
A lot of what? Tits?
A lot of boobies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hot tit.
One of those movies that you're watching with your parents, and it's all fun and games till a tit flashes, and then you're like, oh, God.
We're so sorry. Well, I don't get this about creepypasta in general, is that it's, like, made up.
It is, yes. So it's totally made up, and there is so much of it. I was reading about it today. I was like, I've never heard of any of these. But there's all this internet lore. And then I have read a lot on Reddit No Sleep, though, which is a great forum.
Creepypasta?
Yeah, it's like a bunch of creepypasta. But everyone – so the whole thing is like, we all know this is fake, but we are going to pretend like it's real to like honor the – creepiness and like lore of this. So everyone writes about it as if it's a real thing that's happened to them or is happening to them or they know someone it happened to. And you all kind of just suspend reality and agree to like
participate in this culture.
Yes. Believe all of this, all the disbelief. It's just like, yeah. If you like call it out, like that's very frowned upon. You'll probably get kicked off a forum if you start doing that kind
of
shit.
Like, this doesn't sound real. I will say, I always just try, you know, I think everything has a merit to it or not. You know, it's like some things either helpful or harmful.
Uh-huh.
And in this case, you know, maybe it's not so bad to have an encouraging people to write creatively.
Yeah. And a lot of like professors of folklore and sociology and stuff like that, that's kind of the stance they take on it, because the other stance is a bunch of kids are reading this and it's harmful. And it's like when, you know, like, oh, my kid listened to Marilyn Manson and then went out and started doing drugs. It's like, no, your kid was probably already into drugs and he just also likes Marilyn Manson.
It's
like,
just
can't blame, like, the creative, somebody's creative endeavors on, like, why your kid's a fuck up.
Yeah, they're going to fixate on something.
Yeah.
And it's not the thing upon which they fixate. It's them personally, whether it's, you know, issues they have or you probably screwed
up. So a lot of people do think, like, it's encouraging people to, like, write creatively. And it also, you know, kind of forms this community that's really supportive and fun. You know, a lot of it's fun. I mean, some of these no sleep stories are scary as shit, but they are very well written. There's one that is a series of entries about a park ranger and creepy things that he encounters in the forest and
it's probably just a real guy.
Parks. It's very well written. And if you go to like the No Sleep Reddit and just search for highest rated of all time, it's one of the first to come up, and it'll keep you up. There's a reason it's called No Sleep. There's some really good ones.
God.
However, on the other hand, things can go wrong, especially when a lot of the people that are into this are very impressionable teenagers. And there have been several problems when the myth becomes reality.
Too real, yeah.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal, $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it.
You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Very real. The first one we're going to discuss is one that's probably the most popular. HBO recently, last year, made a documentary about this called Becoming Slender Man.
No, Beware the Slender
Man. Beware the Slender Man.
It's very good.
It's very good.
However, there's a lot of actual interrogation tapes of the kids, the perpetrators, and it's pretty upsetting.
It's very upsetting. So, on May 31st, 2014, two 12-year-old girls lured their fellow 12-year-old classmate into the woods, held her down, and proceeded to stab her 19 times. They then left her there to die alone. From the sheer will to live, the victim managed to crawl out of the woods into a nearby road where a passing cyclist spotted her and called the police. When authorities arrived, she was taken to the hospital and luckily survived. When authorities located the two girls that had committed this act, they were running down a road that they thought would take them to Slenderman's mansion in Nicolet National Forest. They told police that they planned to kill their friend so Slenderman would make them his proxies. They also stated that they believed Slenderman would kill their families if they did not commit the murder.
Man, at no point in your previous description of how to become a proxy with the new moon and the flashlights and the Monty Python questions did it ever mention attacking a person, right?
No, it's so the lore kind of goes, once you become a proxy, he may ask you to like carry out terrible things like murder and things like that. They kind of skipped the step of becoming the proxy and just were like, well, we're going to make him happy by doing this, and then he's got to make us one of his proxies.
And so this is a really sad story.
It's very sad.
It's three girls. So Bella is the victim. Morgan is the one that actually did the stabbing. And then Anissa is the one that introduced the concept of Slender Man to Morgan. Now, it's not, I mean, I guess it's not a spoiler, because if you look it up, they figured out that the Morgan actually has schizophrenia,
yes,
and her dad had schizophrenia. So she had seen a ghost when she was a little girl, or she claimed to see ghosts, and that they like reached out and touched her, and the parents were like, eh, she's just being a kid. But then she also, later on when she was interviewed by psychologists, and here what we were talking about Marilyn Manson, tell me to do drugs or whatever, mm-hmm, she was super fixated on Harry Potter. She would tell, mm-hmm, the psychologist, she's like, Snape comes and talks to me, and she was really obsessed with Star Trek, and she's like, Spock will come and talk to me, and they're my friends. And so it was like, she's 12.
She was delusional.
It's beyond like imaginary friends. And she didn't know anything about, so she and Bella, the victim, were friends from fourth grade, and now they're going into sixth grade, or finished sixth grade. And they were best friends. And in fact, when the police found Bella, they're like, who did this to you? And she said, my best friend.
Oh, God.
And the thing that happened was that Anissa got really obsessed with Slender Man because she was super bullied. Like, she didn't have friends. She was isolated. She met Morgan on the bus. They became friends. And then Anissa, they gave them iPads at school. So Anissa would spend all her time on her iPad looking at this Slender Man creepypasta stuff.
They didn't block that shit?
No. And the dad's like, in the documentary, it's like pretty sad. He's like, I'm a good dad. Like, I paid attention to what she was doing. Like, you know, basically kind of, you could tell he's like got a lot of regret.
Yeah.
And but then like simultaneously, the documentarians are kind of like recording that his son is like on his iPad in the background, and the dad's like not paying attention to what he's doing. So it's just like, and it's hard because how do you monitor what your kids are looking at, right?
Yeah.
And so then once Anissa showed all this stuff to Morgan, who is unfortunately prone to delusions and prone to like truly, truly believing it, then they concocted this scheme. And basically they'd been planning since December, and they finally stabbed Bella.
They'd been planning to kill their friend since December.
Since December. They finally did it at her birthday party. There's pictures of them roller skating the night before, smiling and hugging each other. Mm-hmm. And they were going to kill her in the basement and cover her up with a sheet.
At one of their houses?
At Morgan's house.
Yeah, they were having a slumber party.
It was Morgan's birthday. Yeah, it was her slumber party. So the mom's like, you know, I didn't think anything of it. The girls played that night. Morgan didn't want to kill Bella that night because she said, it's so creepy. In the interrogation room, the detective's like, so what happened? And she's like, I wanted to give her one more morning.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Jesus.
Well, thank, how sweet.
Good God. And yeah. So then the next morning they wake up, the mom makes them like waffles or pancakes or whatever. And the kids are like, hey, can we go to the park? And the mom's like, they're 12. They've been in the park a million times. Like, sure. And they go and they get in the bathroom. And Anise is like,
At the park.
And Anise is like, we have to do it now. Do it. And Morgan's like, I can't. And Bella's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? And Anise is like, do it. And Morgan's like, no. So then they go, okay, well, we're going to play hide and go seek. And so Anise is like, I'm going to be it. And so Morgan and Bella have to go hide. Well, then when they go to hide, Anise comes around, meets up with them. Morgan, like, they push her to the ground. Anise was going to do it. She chickened out, and she gave the knife to Morgan and was like, you have to do it. And Morgan's, like, crying and saying, I don't want to do it. And then basically sits on Bella's legs, whispers to her, I'm so sorry. And then and Anise goes, go ballistic, go crazy. And then basically that's what Morgan did. They said it pierced her liver, it pierced mm-hmm. her spleen. And it was like
a millimeter from her heart.
Yeah. So, and the really
very, very lucky she lived.
Anise has the most, and it's so funny because, not funny, but it's so bizarre to watch the interrogations, because Morgan's the one that has schizophrenia. But yeah. Anise is so, she just believes this creepypasta is real. And she tells the guy, the detective's like, or it's a female detective interviewing her. And the female detective's like, you know, what did you do this for? And she said, I wanted to prove all the skeptics wrong. She's like, I didn't really know anything about becoming a proxy. Like, I just knew what the internet told me. And but it's weird too, because, you know, Morgan's parents said that they noticed from a young age, like, she didn't have sympathy for cartoons, like, that she watched Bambi when Bambi's mom gets shot, and she's like, run, Bambi, save yourself.
So she's kind of a sociopath.
A little bit, yeah. And then Anise and Morgan had both, like, taken online quizzes that were like, are you, you know, are you a psycho or whatever, just, which it's not.
Are you a psycho?
But then they, so, and it's.
And what, it was like, yeah, you are?
It's like a 10 question. I mean, it's not. But then the really weird thing was that the dad, you know, the dad's like, no, I watched what she looked at, you know,
Anise's dad.
Yeah. And the dad says that iPad gave her a way to detach from her family. And I think it was the dad or maybe Morgan's mom was like, you know, they're really detached because they're on the internet. But Anise, the documentarians went through and found like her YouTube history of like what she was watching and the comments she was making. And she was watching some fucked up shit. Like there was one where it's a cat. It's like a serval cat. Those like, they're kind of like almost like miniature, like wild cats that are house trained. It's kind of like a Bengal cat.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner goes like, okay, it's time to feed the live mouse to the serval. And you basically like watch this cat beat a mouse to death and then eat it graphically.
Oh,
and Anise wrote, my favorite part was when the mouse was beaten to death.
Yeah. And well, she and was that's watching, how like, most like serial killer stuff starts is with hurting animals.
Yeah. And then she was watching a video of a guy like smashing a fish up. It's just real bloody and like there's bones everywhere.
That's fucked up.
And there's one where a guy's like, why do you put a dead baby or why do you put a baby in a blender legs down so you can hear it scream? Ha ha ha. And I'm like, this is like a child is watching this on YouTube.
And somehow her parents weren't aware of this.
Oh no. I mean, he was like, no, like I paid attention to what she was doing. I'm like, but really, did you? Because we, like, basically, it's kind of a juxtaposition. It's a little bit rough that the filmmakers did that because he's claiming, like, she never had her door closed. Like, I always paid attention to what she was doing. And then they just do, like, a 5-minute montage of, like, all the videos and the comments.
Is he saying, I knew she was looking at this
stuff? No, he alleges that that she never looked at anything bad. But basically, the documentarians, like, find her internet history.
Well, no parent wants to believe their kid is fucked up and capable of things like that.
Yeah, and then part of the Slender Man lore is that he was bullied. And so this psychologist is like, no, these kids take that on. And, like, in the absence of social contact, like, the internet kind of becomes a peer. And it becomes somebody that they look to for comfort.
Definitely.
And they said Anise, like, had no connection with any of her classmates. Like, her teacher is just like, she would just like cry because she like didn't have any friends.
So the Slender Man becomes your friend.
Yeah. And that's basically like what it is that you can like go and be with a Slender Man and he becomes one with you. And one of the girls, like a friend of Anise's, was like, she's a total follower. Like, she'll do anything that, you know, other people were doing. So it's like, yeah, if you're just like, okay, be my proxy and follow me into the woods.
Also, it gives you kind of a purpose and, so, you know, someone to hang out with. Like, it's like your little tribe you found.
Pretty much. My thing is, though, so they alleged that they needed to go to Nicolet National Forest. It was a 4-hour drive from where they're at. So you can use your iPad to look at mouse eating videos, but you can't use fucking Google Maps and see that your ass is not going to make it there on foot.
And they're running down the street. I mean, these are two kids that haven't really thought past the act of actually doing this.
It's real messed up.
And what's super messed up is that the whole night before, they know they're going to do this. And this other poor girl, Bella, is just like, we're just three friends hanging out.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
She just thought, never would suspect in a million years what they were about to do to her.
Seriously. Well, and Anissa's like, Morgan and I were going to be like lionesses chasing down a zebra. And actually, when they're in the bathroom, when they were first going to try to do it, Anissa's like, you need to go to sleep. It'll be easier if you go to sleep. And Bella's like, I'm not going to sleep. We just woke up and ate donuts. Like, I'm not going back to sleep.
And Anissa, she also has no idea what the hell they're talking about.
For real. And Anissa punched Bella in the forehead and it like whacked Bella's head back on the concrete. And of course, Anissa's like, what the hell? And then Morgan handed Anissa the knife in the bathroom and was like, I can't do this. I'm too scared. And then they decided to go play hide and seek.
So did Bella see the knife?
I don't think she did because she got whacked in the head.
Oh, I was going to say, run, girl.
Dude, so it's terrible that this poor Bella's like trying to be nice and have, you know, be friendly to these people and they're freaking crazy asses. I mean, that's mean to say they're crazy, but that's these poor kids that are, I guess, so tormented that they just think that that's the only way out to become a proxy of Slender Man are going to attack the one girl that was like nice to them.
Well, both of them, Anissa and Morgan, were diagnosed with mental illnesses.
Yeah.
At first, they were deemed unfit to stand trial, and then eventually the judge determined that they were mentally stable to stand trial. And just recently, in February of this year, they were both found not guilty by reason of insanity.
But they're sentenced to
very long sentences in mental health institutions.
One's like 40 years and one's like 27 years. I mean, they're going to be in there until they're old.
Which I mean, what they did is horrific. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't have a serious, but there are people that like have legitimately murdered people that get a much lesser sentence.
We were talking about that. The guy, the Greyhound bus guy in Canada, the one that he had a mental illness. He beheaded his fellow passenger. No warning. Just stood up, beheaded the guy next to him, started eating the body parts. And everyone can see it through the windows. And he ended up, Canadian, the judicial system for people with mental illnesses is very, like, kind of lax as far as supervision, and he can just walk around during the day.
Yeah.
And then he has to just check back in at night, and it's like, what happens if he doesn't check in? Well, we'll go and look for him. Oh, cool. Well, he's got somebody's tongue in his mouth, and not in the fun way. You know? Right? It's like, Jesus.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. The hard part, you know, too, is Morgan's dad, Morgan's the one that was diagnosed with, like, paranoid delusions and schizophrenia. He's a high-functioning schizophrenic, and he just breaks down in the documentary, and he's like, I wish she would have told me that she was seeing these things because I see things too. And you see the mom's just kind of like, okay, well, the dad's like, he goes, I'll be driving to work and I just look at my backseat and the devil's just sitting in my backseat. And he's like, you know, it's not real. And you tell yourself it's not real, but you just hear him and you can smell him and you know he's not real, but it's so real.
But when you're a kid, you don't know that's not real.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the doctors were saying like she can see unicorns, she talks to Snape, that she believes she has Vulcan mind control, and that she basically, like, if they say, well, did you ever think maybe Slender Man's not real? She becomes like combative and like really like irrational.
Well, and in the footage of her being interrogated, she doesn't even really get what's happened.
Not really.
Isn't she like,
She's like,
talking
she
about
okay?
when she can go home and stuff. Yeah. Like, she doesn't even get, like, a girl, you're not going home.
Well, and Anissa was like, we got, because Morgan's like, well, maybe we should get her some help. And Anissa's like, we got to run or we're going to spend the rest of our lives in jail. So it's a little bit like saying something like that would tell me that you have the adequate, like, mental state yeah. that you know what you did was wrong versus Morgan. It's like, oh, no, maybe we should help her. That's fucked up, too. They're like, we're going to go get help. But they did not. Yeah. They left her in the woods.
They told her they were leaving her to go get help. And then they just left her.
Yeah.
And bless her heart that she was able to crawl out of those woods after 19 stab wounds.
They just go, why'd you do it? She goes, I just wanted to live.
Yeah.
I wanted to live so bad. But the last thing that Bella said to them was, I trusted you. I hate you.
Wow.
And now, I mean, Bella's family released a photo of her pretty recently. And she's like a thriving teenage girl. I'm sure she still has really bad, like, physical scars and definitely emotional scars. But
this will fuck her up the rest of her life.
But here it is, the worst part. So Morgan and Anissa, they're in mental institutions for probably the rest of their lives. They are not allowed the internet. They're not allowed to talk to each other.
Morgan, are they in the same mental institution?
No, I don't think they are. And Morgan doesn't even want to go outside. She doesn't have a window. She, like, has really retreated, like, into her delusions. But, and she's on voluntary psychotic meds. There's been now, kids are making fan arts of Morgan and Anissa.
No.
That it's like, come full circle.
God. Because they don't, people don't, there's like some disconnect with, I think about this with like people that write to serial killers in prison or like women that are upset, like with Manson or
yes.
the Menendez brothers and things. Like there's a disconnect of these are actual terrible, evil human beings that have done awful things, and they just become like these mythical, like, heroes almost.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. It's like it'll be a picture of like a drawing of Slender Man, and then in the front foreground is like Morgan and Anissa holding hands in front of them, and they're all in the forest
that's
together.
Terrible. Well, luckily, on a brighter note, the community of the Washuka, isn't that where it
yeah,
happened?
Yeah, Washuka.
Washuka, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. really came together for the victim, Bella, and did a ton of, like, different kind of drives and stuff to raise money for them. One, they had, like, a bratwurst festival on a day dedicated to her, and they raised, like, $70,000.
I'm sure she had, like, extensive medical
bills. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine. And they, the mayor, like, dedicated a day to her where everyone wore purple. And so she's had a lot of support, mm-hmm. luckily. But this is something that she was 12. I mean, for the rest of her life, this is a thing she has to deal with.
That's trust.
They changed the direction of her life.
Oh, completely. And also, it's like no good deed goes unpunished. You know, this is Morgan and Anissa were outcasts. They're losers. Nobody wanted to hang out with them. They were cried about not having friends. And Bella was going to be nice and be friends mm-hmm. with them. And freaking look what happened.
Yeah. And now look at them. They really have no friends and are outcasts. They don't even want to go outside.
Morgan has Snape. I mean, that's, you know.
And she also said she talked to the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's sad or whatever. But what are you going to say? Okay, we're going to be Ninja Turtles and Harry Potter because maybe they're going to tell her to do something.
Honestly, between those two, I think I'd rather be Morgan because at least she's so delusional that she can kind of, like, escape in her mind.
That's also an episode of Buffy.
And also there was a Law & Order SVU episode loosely based on this story, too.
Oh, was there? I didn't see it. Man, they're always cutting edge with all SVU.
Yeah, they take straight from the headlines.
Straight from the headlines.
Well, that is a very sad one, and that is – luckily, it could have been sadder. She could have died, but that's probably the most well-known one, and that – kind of put Slender Man in the more public eye where it wasn't just something that creepypasta fans knew about. Like, it became a lot more mainstream. There's some other incidents that happened that are not as well known. In 2014, after hearing the story about the Wisconsin stabbing, another woman in Cincinnati, Ohio, contacted a local reporter to say that her 13-year-old daughter had attacked her with a knife. The daughter had been writing macabre fiction about the Slender Man, and the mother believes that that is what motivated the attack.
God.
In September of 2014, a 14-year-old girl in Florida set fire to her family's house while her mother and brother were inside.
Oh, my God.
Police later discovered she had been reading online stories about Slender Man and visiting a lot of websites about him. The sheriff is quoted as saying, it would be safe to say there was a connection.
Between Slender Man and the incident?
Yes.
My thing is like, it's like what you said earlier. Slender Man, the mythos of Slender Man's not causing this.
No.
But you know, it's an outlet or a catalyst for these kind of troubled, frustrated teenagers.
I think it's... Being a teenager is hard already.
Yeah.
Then if you suffer from any kind of mental health problem that, for whatever reason, the stigma it's associated with, or it's just not discussed in your family, or you don't know how to express what you're feeling, like, then that makes it even worse because...
Yeah, you're not getting the help you need.
Yeah, you're depressed, you have anxiety, you have all the things that a preteen is going through. Then you find this, like... No one understands me, but this thing understands me.
He was an outcast. Yeah. Look, he has a mansion in the forest. Yeah. And we can all go be together.
And it's a form of escapism.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it's why people do drugs or do anything. You know, it's like you can't handle the reality of your situation, so you look to escape it.
Well, it's like, here's an answer. Mm-hmm. The answer is the Slender Man will take care of you. The answer is be a proxy of the Slender Man and it'll...
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You know, I think in the Morgan and Anissa situation, it was where it was a really, of course, with Morgan, she had schizophrenia, like undiagnosed severe mental illness. And just that combination of someone coming along going like, this is a real thing. Like, it's creepypasta, but it's a real thing. Yeah. We really believe it. And this is really going to happen. And if we don't do it, he's going to kill our families. That delusion that, you know, if you're a grown man and you're scared of a devil in your backseat, imagine being a teenage, a 13, 12-year-old girl, prepubescent girl, thinking, if I don't do this thing, I really don't want to do it, but I don't want my family to get killed.
And in a very sad way, she thought she was protecting those that she loved.
God.
And after that happened, a lot of even the creepypasta community did like a live stream for 24 hours to raise money for Bella.
Well, that's awesome.
Because they wanted to show this is not indicative of how most of the creepypasta fans are.
Yeah.
And
we're not that kind of community.
Right. And many of the websites now have disclaimers that's like there's a very fine line between fiction and fact, and we're not responsible for any suicides or satanic rituals or murders or anything that might happen, but we're having fun here, basically.
Yeah, this is all fiction. And it's, you know, it's, I guess, hard to delineate on the internet where if you go into a bookstore, it's like, fiction books are here, nonfiction books are here. Where it's the internet, it's like, this is all real, but really it isn't.
But really it is.
But it's more fun to make this photo look like it was real and look like it was taken
and very impressionable kids.
You can't
tell
the difference.
It's hard to understand that. And I mean,
when I was a kid, I thought Madonna and Marilyn Monroe were the same person because of the video where Madonna dresses up like Marilyn Monroe. I was very confused.
I thought I was going to marry Elvis. You thought you were going to marry John Lennon. Like, we're stupid. We don't know.
I didn't get it. I thought that I was watching a movie that was like happening now and it was from the 60s. Yeah. Like, you know.
I think the main thing that needs to happen here is parents have to be more involved in their children's lives. And if that means like blocking things on the internet that your kids can't get to, or, yeah. or, you know, allowing them a very small window of time a day to even, like, be on the internet and mm-hmm. stuff where it's monitored. Like,
well, it's hard as hell because that dad, Anissa's dad was like, well, I have to go to meet the teacher tonight and they're going to give, like, Braden or whatever the other kids, I'm making that up. That just sounds like a little white kid name. But they're like, you know, Braden is going to get an iPad because he's in, you know, sixth grade now, and they give him to all of the kids and he's going to, you know, keep it and take it home. So it's like these schools think they're helping and facilitating learning and giving this device that literally, I mean, you're on the bus and you can look at stuff. Yeah. You're on in the school and the teacher's not looking and you can look at stuff. You're at home and your parents go to sleep and it's in your backpack, but you go and get it out of your backpack.
Well, I know the schools after that blocked the websites that had creepypasta lore on it. Mm-hmm. They should be, but it shouldn't take something like this happening for the schools to kind of be proactive. And obviously, I'm sure they're blocking, like, porn sites and other stuff like that.
Yeah, or, like, super violent stuff.
Yeah, make it very basic. I mean, I didn't have that kind of stuff when I was in elementary or middle school. We didn't, iPads weren't even a thing.
Well, the problem is these, like, not the problem, because, I mean, I think, you know, you walk a fine line when you start, like, censoring stuff, but there's these websites like Tumblr or Reddit or whatever where you can upload pornography or you can upload dirty stories or dirty images or dirty animations, and it's not, like, if you can't wholesale block, I mean, I guess you could wholesale block Tumblr or Reddit or whatever, but... Or Twitter even has dirty stuff on mm-hmm. it. Or Google YouTube. Image. YouTube
has a ton. Yeah, you can Google image search.
Anything.
I mean, you can just Google image search, like, a Macy's catalog, and you can find dirty. Women in, like, lingerie and stuff.
It's true. And so it's like, you know, you can't, it's hard. Like you said, there's only so much, like, software can do. Because if you need YouTube to, like, watch educational videos, yeah. meanwhile, you're also watching some guy beat a fish up. Or, yeah. like, I don't know if he's, like, I can't remember what he's doing. He's, like, whacking the fish on a wall or something.
That's terrible.
But it's just, like, weird, violent images that they may, and some people are creepy and sick, and they want to sneak it in under, like, kids' stuff.
Yeah. The internet, as I was looking on stuff today, I just said, God, there's a lot of weird shit on here. Tommy's like, that's the internet.
Yep.
That could just be the motto for the internet.
Well, that's it. You know what you're getting into. That's yeah. the internet for you.
One other terrible thing was in 2015 on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, there was an epidemic of suicide attempts by young people between the ages of 14 and 24. Slender Man was said to have been the influencer.
Man.
And the president of the Oglala Sioux tribe mm-hmm. said that many Native Americans believe in a suicide spirit that is very similar to the Slender Man.
Wow.
So again, that could be also...
There goes Victor Sturge.
It's Buffy, Stripes,
Monty Python,
and
Sioux tribe.
And the Native American, yes, beliefs. So...
Good.
So why, Lord. One might ask, like, why is Slender Man so successful?
Like, why are people drawn to this? Exactly. I mean, that's a good question. Why are people drawn to urban legends? Why are they?
I think there's some morbid fascination. It's exciting. It's scary. It's creepy. Mm-hmm. You're kind of towing the line between fantasy and reality. Mm-hmm. Media scholar and folklorist Andrew Polk says that it's because of the highly collaborative nature of the mythos of Slender Man. So the character and his motives are vague and mysterious, which allows users to easily adapt tropes and imagery to create their own new stories.
Well, there you go. Yeah. With the back to the Hitmakers book that I'm reading, of like, it's something that's familiar because it's like a little bit like the Buffy thing. It's a little bit like the Mothman. It's a little bit, but it's something new. So it's titillating because mm-hmm. you're like, it's almost like that expectation that you have. And then it's like, changes at the last second, and you're like, oh, and it gives you, it's like a roller coaster, you know, it kind of gives you a little thrill.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I've seen this creepy story of like the Pied Piper where the man takes the kids into the mm-hmm. woods, or I think the Pied Piper, he takes them into the mountain, a hole yeah. in the mountain. And, you know, it's like, oh, I've heard this story before. Oh, but this one has tentacles, or like, yeah. oh, he lives in the forest, or oh, you got to go out on a new moon. So,
and it's you like, kind of like form this like weird bond with others that are also writing these stories, like, you know, it becomes like this shared experience mm-hmm. among basically faceless friends because you're all on the internet.
And you know who else is faceless? The old Slender Man.
Bringing it all back around.
The old Slender Man.
Well, we see Slender Man as just that, like a faceless, weird, creepy thing. A lot of people, though, including Andrew Polk and other media scholars, see him as kind of a metaphor for helplessness and anonymous forces, and believe that he represents modern fear of the unknown.
Well, and that makes sense because, you know, what's so creepy about a thing with no face is that we as humans, like on an evolutionary, like really base, our most base level is we want to recognize things. Yeah. So you recognize the berries that will make you feel good, and you recognize the berries that'll make you have the diarrhea. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you want to be able to recognize friendly faces. Like that's a friendly face that's a member of my tribe, and that's a friendly face that's a member of the warring tribe, and that's a really old time evolutionary like gut feeling.
We fear what we don't understand.
Yeah. And so some people are drawn to that fear and other people recoil, I guess. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's
But even those that recoil, there's still part of you that's curious. Fascinated and curious. It's like a car wreck. You don't want to look, but you also can't look away.
Yeah. Speaking of car wrecks, you and I saw one the other night.
Oh, my God. That was terrifying.
That was so scary. Hopefully that person's okay. I mean, you could tell that they
I
were
I think
fine.
They were, yeah. But we were very close to that. It almost affected us.
I don't want to get too early on the shout-outs, but shout-out to Christy for, as I'm driving in the rain and a car spins out and hits the median in front of us, me going, oh, my God, and start screaming, and she just went, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And I was like, oh, my God, it is okay, thank you.
You kept going, are we okay, are we okay? As we're, like, driving by this car that's spinning out, and I'm like, we're about to find out if we're okay.
You're like, it's all right. I was like, I feel like I got kicked in the chest.
Yeah.
I'm so scared.
It's when all that adrenaline, it's anytime something like terrifying or really upsetting happens and you get all this adrenaline.
Yeah.
And then once it kind of passes, it just dumps into your bloodstream and you feel physically sick.
I shook. Yeah. I felt like I shook all night.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of this too, is this fear, and you want to chase that feeling, mm-hmm. that adrenaline, that the rush, the shock. Like I said, it's a thing, a story that you've heard before, but with like a twist.
It's a haunted house. It's getting scared in a scary movie. It's whatever it is in our brains that likes that.
It's hard. Whenever...
Enjoys that weird. It's like people that sign up for like McCamey Manor and all that stuff where it's like, you know you're not going to die, but you could,
but
and that's thrilling.
Yeah, you want to get close to the edge without going over.
Yes, yes, right up to the edge.
Kind of like Price is Right.
Bid a dollar. My grandma used to get so pissed when people would bid a dollar.
$1.
Because you're just gaming the system. I mean.
You're not even trying.
Props to people because they're like, I don't care. I want to win that washer and dryer
set. Everybody
else
went
over. But also, you're kind of just pussing out and screwing everyone over.
No.
You're not really trying to guess.
I'm a pro $1 bettors because those other people shouldn't have gone over. That's the rules, Chrissy.
That's true.
So, yeah, if they're stupid and they all build it, it's like when they're like, it's a washer and dryer, and they're like, $4,000.
You're like, have you ever bought a fucking washer and dryer?
It doesn't wash the clothes for you. You still have to put the shit in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always funny when you get someone on there that clearly has never, like, grocery shopped, and they have to do that like, game where they have to, like, guess how much, like, laundry detergent, and they're like, $18.50. You're like, what is happening?
Exactly. Or I'm like, where do you live that a bottle of Pine Sol is $9?
Yeah.
It's a bottle of Pine Sol, Michael. What could it cost? $9.
What was your favorite game?
On Price is Right? Oh, my gosh. I really liked Plinko.
Oh, I was just about to say Plinko.
But
love
I think
Plinko.
I love the, like, Yodeler Man.
Oh, the Yodeler is great. Yeah. Man, that stressed me out, though.
Yeah, because you might go
You could
over.
Just see him going up and stuff. I kind of liked the one where they had to roll the die.
Yeah.
The dice, and because they're a giant.
Yeah, giant dice. Are you a Bob Barker or Drew Carey?
Oh, Drew Carey can go fuck himself. Bob Barker all the way.
Old Grabby McGee.
He wanted all of us to get our pets spayed and neutered.
He
and that was good enough for me.
It's true. He was he's all about taking care of animals and pussy.
He liked all the pussy.
All of it.
All
he
types
to
of
be,
pussy.
He's like, you're spayed, aren't you? What? Mr. Barker?
My brother's girlfriend won the Showcase Showdown.
Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. She went to Japan.
If you watch, there's a video, and I bless his heart. I'm pretty sure he's a sailor, and he bets.
He's like a sailor?
It's a guy, and he's like, it's like a full, he's in a full sailor suit, and they're,
it's oh, like. Oh, so he's like in the military?
Yeah, he's in the military. He's not like a pirate.
And I thought he's like, he liked to sail boats.
No. He's like a sailor in the military. And he's standing, it's like, it's his Showcase Showdown, and it's like a motorcycle, two jet skis, like a trip to England, and like maybe some couches.
Oh,
and
they're
like,
$250,000.
And it's Bob Barker, and he's like, do you want to try again? And he's like, $250,000.
Bob Barker's heart.
And then the lady next to him's like, a dollar?
Yeah.
And then the kid looks at her and just like was clearly like so confused.
Oh.
And of course she won or whatever. But
she did.
He was so self-assured.
Are these couches made of gold?
The jet skis were made of, yeah, absolutely. They're made of the finest platinum and diamond jet skis.
The best though is because if you guess both within like $1,000 or something, you get both. Yeah. And that is crazy when people do it. However, my brother's girlfriend, it screwed her over because you have to pay taxes on all that shit.
Oh, no.
So she, like, I think you can, like, decline getting some of the gifts.
Yeah, you can, like, refuse them.
Yeah, so she she won, like, several things and then the trip to Japan, but she declined, like, I don't remember what they were. Maybe it was like a jet ski or something like that. But she declined those things because she was like, I'm not going to pay tax on that. I'm never going to use them.
That's true.
But then they had to pay taxes on the other stuff. And it fucked her over for a while.
Mm-hmm. It's expensive as hell.
So it's like, really want to be on this show?
That's what my mom said when we won that trip to New York from the radio when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
She had to pay taxes on that. So
yeah.
Thanks a lot, Kid Craddock.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, but you also, I mean, you sent me to New York. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had to pay taxes.
And shout out to my brother, Zach Wallace, and his girlfriend, Kelly Wilson, for this story just now.
Yeah. Congratulations on your trip to Japan.
Yeah.
And getting on Price is Right. Oh, the Gaunch was on Price is Right, too.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
I've seen that. All right. Well, what do we think?
So what do we think about Slender Man?
God. I mean, it's hard when something seems real and it's not. I guess that's misleading for kids. It makes me just want to be like, I would like to think that when I was 12, I wasn't that dumb to think that it was real. However, the one girl isn't dumb, I guess, theoretically, because she has schizophrenia. So she can't help believing it. You know, she can't help thinking it's real.
I think it takes a certain kid that's going through a lot of stuff or has
severe
legitimate mental health problems
to
be able to not recognize the line between reality and fantasy.
Up until I was maybe able to drive a car, though, I wouldn't leave the bedroom door open at my childhood bedroom because I thought that the leprechaun was going to get me.
The leprechaun?
I'm very afraid
what
of the
leprechaun.
From the movie Leprechaun.
Oh, that leprechaun.
The mean one that bites people's fingers off. And if you are virgin and you sneeze three times in a row without someone saying God bless you, he will take you as his bride.
Oh, my God. Were you, like, always like, say God bless you.
Say
God bless you, Mom.
For the love. No, don't worry about this.
Oh, that's the one good thing about not
hanging and banging.
Being pure.
The old leprechaun doesn't want you anymore. But, you know, I mean, I think I was, like, probably, like, a teenager when I was like, all right, no. It's not a real thing.
Why
like
the leprechaun? Why him?
The movie was so scary.
And it just became a thing.
Did you see Leprechaun in the Hood? Did you see Leprechaun in Space?
Tommy talks about that movie.
The Leprechaun movies are so scary.
I don't think I've seen it, but isn't it weird how, like, as a kid, like, when we had Scriven on and he was like, Falcor is what did it for me. Like, everybody as a kid has something obscure that terrified them.
Well, the dumb thing is, like, Warwick Davis is, like, Ewok. Like, he's an Ewok, and he's, like, he's famous. Like,
little person?
Yeah, he's the one that plays Leprechaun.
Oh. And, he also was the Ewok?
Yeah.
See, I loved Ewoks.
Yeah. So he's, like, famous, but I don't know why. It just scared the shit out of me that Leprechaun. Jennifer Aniston's in the first one.
Anyway. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen it, but I'm trying to remember what my thing was as a kid that I was scared of.
Yeah, I was not as scared as, like, of Jason, Michael Myers, Freddy, any of them. The leprechaun is what
did
it.
I don't think I was really
My sister was very scared of, what is the one with the guy and he has a hook? And, oh, it just escaped my mind. And it's like, it was shot in Chicago on my,
where it's like he scratches the hood of your car if you're parking?
No, that's the urban legend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's, oh my God. I'll think of it. It'll be too late. Candyman. There it was.
Oh, Candyman. Yeah. He had all the bees in his mouth.
And yeah.
Yeah. See, I mean, I'm sure I was, like, creeped out watching that, but, oh, you know what, though? We did do a lot of the, what was that thing when you would go into the bathroom and turn the
Bloody
lights
Mary.
Up? Bloody Mary. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one. See, even as a kid, we did weird shit like that.
I didn't do that. I was a pussy. I was scared. Every time I would be like, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, you're a pussy. And I was like, yes, I am. And guess who's not going to get killed by Bloody Mary tonight, losers?
I was really fascinated and like thrilled by those things looking back on it as a kid, which is probably why I'm now doing a podcast about it. But we would go into the bathroom and do Bloody Mary and stuff like that. We did Ouija boards.
That's Candyman, is you say his name 5 times in the mirror.
Yeah, we would do that stuff. We would do stuff to intentionally scare ourselves and scare each other, try to contact the other side, try and, you know, get weird, creepy, scary demon stuff to happen. But, like, why? Because it's thrilling, I guess, is why we did it.
It's just any of that urban legend, like you said, it scares you. You're getting to the edge.
Yeah.
Like, you in your head, like, even if you're 12, you know that, like, Candyman's not going to come if you say his name 5 times. But, like,
but what if he did?
Might.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why if Slender Man and stuff like this was a thing when I was young, I definitely would have been into it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess I'm just a step away.
I would have been a baby about it and been like, leave me alone.
Oh, yeah. Well, interesting, though.
Yeah.
He's an interesting character. Or it. I've been saying he the whole time. Maybe it's an it.
Let's not judge. Well, it's Slender
Man. He's a humanoid. He's not a man. Yeah. I mean, he's called Slender Man, but he's kind of known as a humanoid. So,
do you think Slender Man, whenever it's like Ken doll style, when you pull the old suit pants
or
down?
It's a bunch of tentacles?
It's like a plate of calamari.
Oh, that's so creepy.
That's nasty. But I do want some calamari now.
Oh, I do love calamari. Yeah, except I only like the rings. The ones.
Do you really?
Oh, I don't like the things that look like little spiders.
Equal opportunity calamari.
Well, good for you. Yeah. We could have it together, and you can have all those, and I'll have the rings.
Deal. Deal. All right.
Well, thanks. We mentioned shout-outs. You shouted out me. That was very nice
saved
of you.
Saved my life in your car incident.
Well, you saved mine, too, by driving very responsibly.
The old Beetle.
Yeah. We'll also shout out Dana Hall
for
correctly guessing the quotes for the Dyatlov Pass episode.
Mm-hmm.
You got any more?
Oh, you know, just like everybody who listens. Shout out to you guys. Thanks for listening. Dougie Caravella sent a really cool podcast about a Dallas doctor, that one that was like botching all the surgeries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give that a listen. I'll give you a review about that. But,
okay. Yeah. Well, yes, thank you to everybody that listens. Thank you, Austin Guttery and Tommy Brown, for editing. Again, thank you to all of you for listening. The best thing you can help us do to grow is like, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
And even better, tweet about us or Facebook about us or tell your friends. Ask them to like our page or whatever. The ones that you think would like it. That's how we grow.
Word of mouth is by far the best marketing. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod, and like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Where can they find you, Heather?
I'm on Instagram at Heather vs. The World and on Twitter at MCK vs. The World.
I am on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace and on Twitter at Christy or GTFO. As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Sinisterhood.